भाई प्रभु जी, हरे कृष्ण माता जी, प्लीज टेक ओवर।
हरे कृष्ण माता जी, ज्ञान के मेरा आदेश्य ज्ञान जन सलाह के अच्छे किशोर मोहिता मेरा स्वयं श्री गुरु ने नमो विष्णु बधाई कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतेश वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नाम ने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचार में निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात देवस्थाते हरे कृष्ण। थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर गिविंग मी दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू गो।
हरे कृष्णा माता जी,
Yes,
कैन
it's
यू बी
better.
लिटिल लाउडर?
How's this is better?
या
Hold on a second. Hare Krishna, thank you for giving me this opportunity to glorify His Grace, Srinivas Jagannath Prabhu. Although I did not know Prabhu personally, it is always for our benefit if we can glorify the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. So, as I was thinking about Prabhuji and I was thinking about his legacy, what can we remember about Prabhuji? And one thing that came to my mind was something that I read on Facebook that His Grace Shastrakrit Prabhu had posted. He was saying that simply breathing is not a sign of living. It's what we did while breathing that matters, just to name a few. Every year without fail, you would sponsor books. You helped me with my marriage expenses, our childbirth expenses. You were always there for me like a younger brother and friend whenever I needed something. Your life was glorious and exemplary. And I think that speaks volumes about the character of Prabhuji. Because even though I did not know him, I got to know him by his glorification. And we also can understand that just as a husband and wife or a team, when we remember one person, remember the other. So in a sense, even Prithivilasini is a legacy of Prabhuji, because it speaks of his character. We all know Prithivilasini. We know how much she has done for us and how many wonderful classes that she has given. And Prabhuji, and she is always in the limelight, but Prabhuji is behind the scenes. We don't know anything about him, but that again speaks about his character, that he stayed behind the scenes and in a sense was the power behind her. So with that, thank you very much for this opportunity. All glories to the Vaishnava devotees and all glories to Prabhuji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Panishri Lakshmi Mataji. Thank you so much. Next, I would like to hand over the call to Srinivasanand Prabhuji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Buddha Samadeva Vividanta Swamiti Nama Namaste Saraswati Devi Navravana Prichara Nidhi Vijay Sunyada Panchamata Deshna. Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhu Srinivasanand Mataji. Yeah, this is my wonderful opportunity to talk about Srinivas Jagannath Priya Prabhu. We heard this news. I mean, usually I don't open that, you know, WhatsApp a lot, you know, very rarely I open it. And then, you know, on that Saturday, Vardhana Mataji informs us. So yeah, just before the class, we have the kirtan and then followed by the Bhagavatam class. And then we heard the news that Mataji told that we all have to do kirtan a little more, Prabhu. And then I ask her, what is the reason, Mataji? And then Mataji explained, yes, Srinivas Jagannath Prabhu, he left this planet. Yeah, we all broke, like, you know, the big cyclone came, all the trees like fell down. So like that, we all broke. Yeah, we cannot able to talk anything. So Srinivas Jagannath Prabhu was in Atlanta. So we all know about him very well. So that, we used to attend the Ramchandra Prabhu classes, our group, and then Srinivas Jagannath Prabhu and then Prithivilasini Mataji attend Shyam Bihari Prabhu's Bhakti Vruksha classes. So those days, I mean, the Atlanta temple congregation was very big. At least 300 people used to attend every Sunday feast class. And then the festivals like the Janmashtami, Ratha Yatra was very huge. So programs, Shyam Bihari Prabhu was taking the lead, and then they arranged the program so perfectly, everything on that place properly. And then I was asking Shyam Bihari Prabhu like that, yeah Prabhu, this was very great, and you know, how come you arrange this program so perfectly? And then Shyam Bihari Prabhu told only one thing, yeah, this is the key. I mean, Preeti Vilasini Mataji arranges the programs very perfectly, but yeah, behind the scenes, Srinivas Jagannath Prabhu he plans perfectly, and then in the front, and then Preeti Vilasini Mata is there, but you all don't know that Srinivas Jagannath Prabhu arranges the programs very perfectly. And then one time I went to Srinivas Jagannath Prabhu, and then I told that, yeah Prabhu, you are so humble, and then even though you did these programs like this, but you don't want to come in the forefront. And then Srinivas Jagannath Prabhu told that, hey, Prabhu, you are the humble, so for that reason you can see everybody is humble. I am not the person doing all these things like that, you know. He was so humble. Yeah, he was so humble. He don't want to take everybody don't want to know about him, you know. He arranges that thing so properly. So, but you know, and then other day I was talking, Atlanta temple is very far for everybody, and then the weekdays going to the temple is very hard. At least it takes hour and a half, especially in the winter, it took a little more time. And then I was sitting next to him, and then I was asking him, and then he told that this is my service to bring Preeti Vilasini Mataji here, Prabhu. Then that's it. So that, yeah, he was so service oriented. No, he explains the things very perfectly, and then he don't take things on him, you know. So that he wants to glorify others only. He always wants that. No one wants to glorify him like that. He wants to glorify. But yeah, we all don't know what the Krishna's plan is. At very small age only, he took away Srinivas Jagannath Priya Prabhu from us. So that it is a very big loss to all of us. And then it is very, 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 very big loss to Preeti Vilasini Mataji. We were thinking on that day onwards how Preeti Vilasini Mataji will come out from this situation. How can she come out? And then my sincere prayers at lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan to give the strength to Preeti Vilasini Mataji to withstand, to bear this loss. Sri Srinivas Jagannath Prabhu will definitely be in the good place, good hands of Krishna only. So, but yeah, we were more worried about the Preeti Vilasini Mataji only. So please Krishna, please take care of your good daughter. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji, I am ending up here.
Thank you, Srinivas Anand Prabhu, for coming on the call and glorifying Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Moving on to our next session is Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 30th Chapter, 18th Verse onwards. Hare Krishna, Keshavananda Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you, Prabhuji, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Give me a second.
Sure, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Is it okay if Praveen Govind Prabhuji reads the verse?
Yeah. Please ask him to read. Yeah.
Yes, Prabhuji. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. It's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30th, Verse 18. अथा मई अनापायिन्या भक्त्या पक्वा गुणासया उपायस्यथा मध्धामा निर्विद्या निरायत अथा. Translation: therefore you will develop unadulterated devotional service unto me and be freed from all material contamination. At that time, being completely unattached to material enjoyment in the so-called heavenly planets as well as in the hellish planets, you will return home back to Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. By the grace of the Lord, the Prachetas were given special facilities. Although they could live millions of years to enjoy material facilities, they still would not be deviated from the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Being thus fully engaged, the Prachetas would be completely freed from all material attachments. Material attachments is very strong. During one lifetime, a materialist engages in acquiring land, money, friends, society, friendship, love, and so on. He also, he also wants to enjoy the heavenly planets after the annihilation of the body. If one is engaged in devotional service, however, he becomes unattached to all kinds of material enjoyment and suffering. In the material world, those who are elevated to the higher planetary system are supposed to enjoy all material facilities, whereas those degraded to lower planetary systems are supposed to live in a hellish condition. A devotee, however, is transcendental to both heavenly and hellish conditions. According to Bhagavad Gita 14.26, a devotee's position is described in this way: Mam chayo vyabhacharina bhaktya yogena sevate sa gunan samatit yetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the mode of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. A devotee is always situated on the Brahman platform. He has nothing to do with the material happiness or distress. When one is strongly fixed in devotional service and free from all material attachment, uncontaminated by the material modes of nature, he becomes fit to return home, back to Godhead. Although by special blessing, the Prachetas would enjoy material facilities for millions of years, they would not be attached to them. Thus, at the end of their material enjoyment, they would be promoted to the spiritual world to return to Godhead. The word Pavaka Gunasaya has special significance, for it means that by devotional service, one is able to give up influence of the three modes of material nature. As long as one is influenced by the modes of material nature, he cannot return to Godhead. It is clearly explained that all planets in the material world, beginning from Brahmaloka down to the hellish planets, are unfit places for a devotee. Padam padam yat vipadam na tesham. A place where there is danger at every step is certainly not a comfortable place. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, Abrahma bhuvanalloke punar avartino arjuna mam upetyatu kaunteya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Thus, there is no profit even if one is promoted to the highest planet in the material universe, Brahmaloka. However, one is somehow or other promoted to the abode of the Lord, he never returns to the material world. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Everybody can hear me properly?
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, okay. Okay, Jai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmaya Shri Guru Venama. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishthaya Vitali Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasut Deve Urvani Pachar Nirvishvish Vashyateshtha. Okay, so we are discussing This verse 4:30-18. The point I want to bring in notice here is, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, unless we are freed from the influence of modes of material nature, we cannot return back to Godhead. And that's very important there. Now it is said, sometimes it is said that we chant and follow four regs and you will attain back to Godhead. You will go back to Godhead. Or sometimes it is said, I don't know where it is said, but people say that Prabhupada says that I've opened a backdoor entry to spiritual world. So you can go back to Godhead. Or if you practice Krishna consciousness, then you're sure to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada might have said all these things. I don't have any problems with that. But the whole problem is that yes, Prabhupada says, and if you are sincere in Krishna consciousness, you can go back to Godhead. Chant Hare Krishna and four regs, you can go back to Godhead. But the whole idea is, if you chant and follow four regs, or if you are fully Krishna consciousness, or if you are sincere in Krishna consciousness, what result we are expecting? That's the whole question there. What we are expecting, what should happen by following Krishna consciousness sincerely, which will qualify us to go back to God? That's the question. That is a question. You follow something and Prabhupada says you're sure to go to back to God. That's okay. No problem. You follow here and you go back. But the question is, by following, what qualification you attain so that you enter, you go back to God. That's the whole question. Like, for example, it is said, suppose if I say, you give examinations of probably medical, so medical competition you give. And if you're sincere in studies, you will pass that competition and you will get admission in medical college. Okay, fine, no problem. But the whole idea is, if you're sincere in studying some subject, if you're sincere in studying medicine, or if you're sincere in studying, then what will happen inside me that I will pass competitions? I will get good knowledge. If I'm sincere, I will get good knowledge. My all doubts will be cleared up. And so that's why when I'll give exam, I'll not make any mistakes. I'll complete paper on time. And then I will pass an examination. Am I right? Even if you're sincere, and if at the time of competition, at the time of paper, if you can't solve all the questions on time, then you lose the game. So that's the whole point there. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Unless you are freed from modes of material nature, this whole process of Krishna consciousness is making you qualified to go back to Godhead. It's making you qualified. And what's that qualification? That qualification is freeing from modes of material nature. That's which is called as Trigunatit. In this verse, that's what Prabhupada is saying. Pakva Gunashaya. Pakva means mature. Pakva actually means which is fully cooked. Pakva means cooked. And guna means material modes of nature. When material modes of nature are completely cooked up. That's what Rupa Goswami gives that example in Nectar of Devotion. He says the past karmas will be like chickpeas, which will be burned by the power of devotion. So if you take some seeds, what Rupa Goswami is saying, and if you put it on the ground, it'll sprout. But if the seeds are burnt up, then if you put in the ground, nothing is going to happen. It'll become mud. With mud, it becomes mud. That's what pakva guna, that's the word used. If your modes of material nature are fully burnt up, by the power of your devotion. That's what bhaktaya pakva gunashaya. By bhakti, if you burn all those modes of material nature, then you become qualified to go back to Godhead. That's what Prabhupada says, unless you're freed from influence of modes of material nature. It's not that simply if you chant and follow four regs, and if you're sincere in Krishna consciousness, you go back to Godhead. That's not the point. That doesn't happen. Everybody who takes coaching for competitions, do they pass competitions? No. All of them are sincere. All of them spend their time. All of them read. All of them read the same courses, same books. But some pass and many do not. What's the problem? What's the difference? The difference is people who have made in competitions, they got their concepts clear. They got all their doubts solved. And that's where they were not confused in competition and they passed. Similarly here, the process of Krishna consciousness, there is something called as process of Krishna consciousness. And then there is something called as goal of Krishna consciousness. And the process makes you qualified to attain that goal. That qualification is a different thing. That has to be understood very properly. And what is that qualification? Qualification is this, pakva gunashe. That's what Prabhupada is saying. So it doesn't happen automatically. There is a science what is happening. So if you don't, now you might say, well, you know, who cares for all these things? Freed from material modes of nature. I'll simply chant and I'll keep on going. And I'll enter kingdom of God. And because Prabhupada says that, we don't have to worry about that. No, but we have to worry. Prabhupada is writing that. There's Srimad Bhagavatam there. And it's common sense also, actually. Actually, you see the point. Sometimes, you know what? Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Pratyaksham kim pramanam. If you see something, then you don't need any pramana. Am I right? For everything, you don't need scriptural pramana. Although shabda is higher than pratyaksha, pratyaksha, anuman, shabda, we know that. No? Three modes of knowledge. By seeing or by sensual perception, you get knowledge. Higher than that is anuman, by logic, you can get knowledge. Highest is shabda, by scriptures, you can get knowledge. But if you can see something, pratyaksham, then you don't need any shabda pramana. Like, for example, if suppose one of you becomes hungry, then do you need to consult Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam? Then you are becoming hungry. Because you need praman, shabda praman. Shabda praman is higher than pratyaksha praman, isn't it? We all learned like basics of Krishna consciousness. But that's not always the case. That's not always the case. If you can perceive it concretely, then you don't need any evidence for that shabda praman. Just like this material world, okay, let's talk about this material world. Does this world exist or not? Okay. This is a question. So do we need a scriptural pramana, scriptural evidence to prove that this material world exists or not? Do we need that? Well, Mayavadis and Shankara might say, yes, we need to prove that this exists. Because according to them, nothing exists. Everything is illusion. But for Vaishnavas, we say we don't need pramana because we can see this. We can feel this. These objects occupy a space and time. Anything which occupies space and time, that is reality. Einstein. Remember Einstein. Space and time. Anything you can touch and it occupies space and time, that is reality. Illusion doesn't occupy space and time. If you see something illusory, then you can not touch it and you can pass your hand through it and it will not occupy a space. So suppose if I give you a ball and if you can touch it and if you can play with it and it occupies a space, that's not illusion. And if I give you a ball and you can't catch it in your hand, you say, my God, what's happening? I'm seeing the ball, but I cannot catch it. I cannot touch it. That is illusion. So that's pratyaksh. Pratyaksham kim pramanam? What you can see and experience by your senses. And not just that. And it occupies space and time. That is reality. So you see the point there. So sometimes what the point I'm making is pratyaksham kim pramanam. You don't need praman for everything, isn't it? You don't ask praman for everything. You feel hunger, you don't ask praman. It is there. You can feel, that's all, and you eat food. Simple. You feel sleepy, you go and sleep. You don't see a shloka that whether I should sleep or not. Well, you're feeling sleepy and you should sleep. In the night, of course, not in time of Mangal Arati. So you see that's the idea. Pakva guna ashaya. That's the whole idea is to understand the point that unless we are freed from modes of material nature, we cannot go back to Godhead. You don't need scriptures. You need common sense. And that's also told in scriptures. If anyone who reads scriptures without common sense or without vivek, if without having vivek you read scriptures, then you are just like a blind man trying to see through spectacles. That's a person. You're a blind man, but you're hoping, okay, I'll use some spectacles and I'll start seeing. No, that can't happen. You're blind. This can't help you. So scriptures cannot help a person to see. They are like spectacles if you're blind. So you need common sense. That's all. So to understand that you should be free from material modes of nature and then you will enter back to Godhead, it's simple common sense. That's all. If you are still under passion, ignorance, goodness, and you have all these desires, passionate desires, lust, anger, greed, or ignorance, you have laziness, procrastination, or you're in a mode of goodness, you feel good about yourself, then you cannot go back to Godhead. Simple, stop. That's all, finish. No matter how much process of Krishna consciousness you follow, until unless you are not freed from more of the material nature, you will not go back to Godhead. So, of course, you have to follow Krishna consciousness process, but with the understanding that what you are doing, that's what actually Srila Prabhupada is trying to convey in this verse here, by that line, unless you are freed from more of the material nature, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the whole point is, we are following some Krishna conscious activities, bhaktaya. We are following some bhakti. And Sukadeva Goswami is recommending, through the power of bhakti, you burn all the material modes of nature. And then madhama, the word madhama, then you can enter my abode. Upaya astha, upaya asya atha, upaya asya atha. Madhama, then you will actually attain my abode. So that's the whole idea. The target of entire process of Krishna consciousness is to free ourselves from modes of material nature, influence. Or in other words, let me put it like that. Whatever process you're following of Krishna consciousness, you have to assess again and again your situation. Every 15 days, assess your situation. Every moment you have to assess your situation. Every moment you have to assess your situation. Okay, I'm following a process, I'm chanting, I'm following four regs, I'm offering prasad, I'm going to Sunday program. But actually, where am I? Am I in a mode of ignorance? Am I in a mode of passion? Am I in a mode of goodness? How will you assess in which mode you are? Please read Bhagavad Gita. We are on Bhagavatam. So I expect you have read Bhagavad Gita. Three modes of material nature, that's a chapter. Read that. Krishna has not spoken that chapter uselessly. Krishna is not a fool. That, okay, three modes of 14 chapter he has spoken just like that. Who cares? We'll simply chant and read some stories and we'll go back to God. That's not going to happen, sorry. I mean, it's you might feel it's discouraging, but that's how it is. So what should I tell you? What should I tell you all? It's discouraging. What should I tell? I mean to say, so it's something like that. A child wants to drive a car. An 8 years old child, he wants to drive a car on the highway. So what parents are supposed to tell? You can't drive, that's all. Child will say, oh, you're denying I want to drive. So the parents will say, you're not qualified to drive. The age is not, you have not reached a particular age. After 18 years, then you get a license. Then the child will say, oh, no, you're not my parents. You are actually discouraging me. What you are doing? Is it sanity? The child is foolish, actually. So similarly, Bhagavatam is saying something we have to understand, and we can't really blindfold ourselves and say everything is okay and everything is not okay. That's the whole point. Everything is not okay. Everything is okay and everything is not okay. That's the whole point there. Okay in the sense we are on the right path, but not okay because we have to assess where we are. And if you don't assess, I mean to say, you see this, bhaktya pakva gunashaya madhama. If you remove this word, okay, fine. So in this verse, if you say, by the power of bhakti, you will attain madhama. You remove this word, pakva gunashaya. Then you will never know whether you are advancing or whether you are not advancing. Whether you are becoming qualified to enter that word or not. You see, okay, I'll give you another example. You see, suppose I have to come to America. So I need a passport, am I right? I need a passport. But the passport is issued by my country and I have that. But if I have come to America, I need a visa of America, which is not issued by India, but which is issued by America. That they will issue the visa. And the whole idea is they will issue visa to those persons whose entrance into America is beneficial to them. They are seeing their benefit. They are not seeing your benefit coming to their country. They are seeing their benefit of you coming to their country. They are not fools, am I right? So they will issue visa if they feel that this person's coming to my country is benefit for my country. So if you're going for tourism, then they will feel, okay, good. So our country will generate foreign currency, and that's good. Or our country might have export-import ties. If people come, see our country, they get influenced, then they will import things from our country. You see, there are so many factors there. So that's the point. We have passports, but where is the visa? That's my whole point. Passport is Krishna conscious process. We have it. Prabhupada has given us the passport. No problem. You chant 16 rounds, you follow 4 regs, you read Bhagavatam daily, you offer prasad, you go for Sunday program, go for book distribution, you preach, you have your congregation programs. Good. This is the passport. This is the process. But what about visa? You have to get the visa. If you have to go to America, am I right? Simply having the passport, you cannot enter America. You need a visa, and visa will be issued by them. So what's a visa? Visa is not being influenced by modes of material nature. If you're not influenced by modes of material nature, then they from Golok will issue a visa. And then you can go back. Simply passport doesn't suffice. So that's very important, Pakva Gunashya. Now, another point which I want to make here is, so I told that through devotion, bhaktya pakva gunasha. Pakva means burn. You burn the effects of modes of material nature upon you. So that no longer it is effective. The effect of modes of material nature becomes ineffective through devotion. But then how do you do that? That's another question. What is there in devotion that it burns the modes of material nature? And here comes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his philosophy. of what he clearly says in Shikshashtakam. He says in Shikshashtakam, Yugayatam Nimishe Na Chakshusha Pramushayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahena. Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam, Shunya means zero. The influence of modes of material nature becomes zero. Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam. Jagat means modes of material nature. This whole material world is made of modes of material nature. There is nothing besides this. That is what Sankhya philosophy teaches us. That is what 14th chapter Krishna says. Everything is made of one of the, either of the three modes of material nature. Either goodness, passion or ignorance, or the combination. That's all. That's it. A wise person sees everything is made of modes. Nanyaditi Pashyatam, what's that verse from Bhagavad Gita? He doesn't see anything playing in background. In the background, the modes are playing. And then we are seeing so many things. So, like for example, these objects, these Matabhataram Nanyat Kinchi Dasti Dhananjaya. Oh, that's not the verse. So these dead objects are product of mode of ignorance. Our senses are product of mode of passion. Our mind is product of mode of goodness. Like this, so on and so on and so on. Everything is in the modes. So Mahaprabhu says, Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam. The whole Jagat, which is actually interplay of the three modes of material nature, their permutation and combination, it has become shunya. Shunya means it is no longer effective. The influence of modes of material nature has been nullified, ceased. Everything ceases. The machinery which was acting on me, it has ceased now. Stopped functioning. Why? Shunyatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. Because I am feeling separation from Krishna. That's the whole idea. So you have to burn the modes of material nature. So you need fire. For burning, you need fire. You don't need water. And what's that fire? That fire is the fire of separation from Krishna. You see, I'm talking too much, but I don't have any realizations, but still I'm talking. that's again mystery. But nevertheless, at least, so even if you have not reached your destination, at least you have a map how to reach. That's also a big achievement. If you have a map, then sooner or later you'll reach. But if you even don't have a map, then you're lost. You're lost forever. Krishna says, if you don't listen to me, you'll be lost forever. So that's the idea there. This here bhaktya, that's the point I'm bringing, is here bhaktya word, it refers to devotion in separation, love in separation. Because without the fire of separation, you cannot go to the next word, pakva. Pakva is burn. You cannot burn things. You need the fire of separation to burn the influence of modes of material nature. Otherwise, you don't get burned. And then you will be qualified to enter the abode of Lord. And that's why you see Krishna, before Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his whole career, at least 12 years out of 48 years, 12 years means so 1/4 of his life was completely dedicated, was actually completely dedicated to show what is love and separation. Prema svadan chale kare. It says in Krishna's Kavya Swami Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Prema Asvadan Chale Kare Prachar. Something like this. I'm forgetting exact line. But in the prema swadan chale, on the pretext of tasting love in separation, Mahaprabhu is teaching us kare prachar. He is teaching us how to practice devotion. That's his aim. So 1/4 of his life is dedicated to showing what is love in separation. And of course, his entire life is on and off. He's showing love in separation by his ecstasies, by his dance. His whole Nam Sankirtan is an expression of love and separation. What else is there? That's there. This bhakti is not an ordinary word here. Prabhupada says by devotional service. Which kind of devotional service? Devotional service and loving separation. Then influence is. So until unless we don't reach love in separation, we can't expect that modes of material nature influence will go off. And if you think you are getting freed from modes of material nature, then be careful because Maya is there to destroy your false ego. She is ever ready. Because without achieving that platform of love and separation, it's impossible to get completely free of influence of material nature. Of course, we are practicing Krishna consciousness, and we are to the degree we are practicing, we are freed of modes of material nature, at least grossly, but completely it cannot happen if without love and separation. It cannot happen. It's impossible. So, and that's why Krishna, you see, within Ras Leela, he left. When Ras Leela was happening, he just disappeared. And then, you know, Gopi's song of separation and whatever. Krishna wanted to show to this world what is loving separation, what power it has. That's what he wanted to show by that act. And also, he relishes when a devotee feels separation. You see, sometimes it happens in this material world also. Sometimes the parents, sometimes a small kid is there, a small baby, probably 2 years old. And the parents, they will, it's cutting on the eyes. And the parents, they will actually hide themselves. And the kid will look here and there, oh, yeah, where is my mother, father? And then the parent will come, I'm here. And the kid will, oh, and they will run and embrace the parents. Or maybe sometimes all these auntie, uncle, they come and they do this kind of thing. So Krishna, so we also relish separation from our beloved, from our loved people. Krishna also relishes. Why he relishes? Because in separation, you see, gopis said to Krishna, when we meet you, we can see you. That is one Krishna. But when we are separated from you, we can see you everywhere. Millions of Krishna. That's the power of separation. So we have to attain that platform somehow or the other. But how to attain that platform? That's the whole idea. Love in separation, we can have. How? The first thing is we should want to have it. That's what I'm saying. We have to have our roadmap clear. What we want actually. We want love in separation. Why do you want Bhaktva Gunashya? Because only by separation, because only by feeling separation, the material modes of nature will get the influence decreases. The more the amount of separation, the less the amount of influence of modes of material nature. And that separation becomes 100%, that's called love in separation. That is perfection of life. So that's what we want, but then you should have a desire to have it. The roadmap should be clear. And so why do you want separation? Because without that, you can't get free of influence of modes of material nature. Why do you want to become free of modes of material nature? Because without that, we can't serve Krishna 100% purely. We can't please him completely because you're not completely pure. And neither you can go back to Godhead. That's the whole idea. But of course, going back to Godhead, that's not the whole idea. Idea is to serve Him with utmost purity, because that will give Him the best pleasure. So that's your bhakti. And that's why it is said, atha mai anapayena. So how to feel that separation? Because without feeling separation, you're nowhere in devotion. You're simply following a process like a machine. Not like a machine. Everybody has some feelings. But you're following a process without an aim. Happiness, that comes. That's not the aim. That's not the aim there. So atha maya napayana. How to attain that separation? Atha maya napayana, Krishna says, therefore, unto me without any deviation. Anapayana. Prabhupada also explained. If we practice devotion without any deviation, without any ulterior purpose, and with single-pointed attention, what exactly do we want from Krishna? That's the whole idea. What do you want from Him? Now you might say, I don't want anything. That's also a crazy proposal. You don't want anything from Krishna? Come on. Yeah, your material things you don't want. But we want some spiritual things, am I right? If you love somebody and you say, I don't want anything from you. Yeah, nice, great, that's nice. But then if he says, oh, but I want one thing. I want one thing that you should always be happy. I want to take you to so and so place for a tour. That I want, that you become happy. That is called love. That is called love. So we want things for the pleasure of God, not for our own pleasure. That's the whole idea. And that's the whole point. What do you want by following this Krishna conscious process? Do you want some satisfaction? Okay, fine. Then that's not the point there. Do you want simply satisfaction, Krishna consciousness? Then you are like a person who is interested in the taste of the medicine and not the effect of the medicine. So suppose you have a medicine which is very sweet and nice taste, strawberry flavor. Oh, actually I want strawberry flavor. And that's why I'm eating the medicine. You're crazy. You're eating medicine to become cured. Not just for strawberry flavor. Strawberry flavor is a side effect. So exactly what you want, that's what Krishna is looking for. And that's what Maya is also looking for, by the way. There's just one question which Maya is going to ask you. And there's just one question which Krishna is going to ask. It is said, life is a preparation, death is examination. So what examination will you get? What's the question paper there? Yeah. So I can tell you what the question paper. I can leak it for you. That I can do. What's the question paper? Question paper is, there's just one question there. And the question is, what do you want? That's the question in your hearts. What exactly you're searching for? What exactly you're looking for? And that we all know what we're looking for. Sometimes it gets manifested. Sometimes it remains hidden in our heart. And externally, we are practicing Krishna consciousness. And we are showing Krishna consciousness. But inside the heart, we know what exactly we want. And that's the whole idea. What do you want? We want to become attached to Krishna. We want to feel separation from Him. That's our target. Why? So that in the fire of separation, or the influence of all material modes get dissolved and burned up actually. And when all the influence of modes of material nature will get burned up, then what happens? So why do you want to burn your all the influence of material nature, four modes? Because in because we know only in that condition we can serve Krishna 24 hours or 25 hours with full attention, full determination, and complete love. And we can make him happy from all respects. So our map is clear, our target is clear. That's all. That's what he's saying. Atha maya na paayena bhaktya pakmu nashya. Upayas astha madhama nirvidya niryadataha. Nirvidya, yeah. When all the influence of modes of material nature get destroyed, then nirvidya, then you become detached. Nirved, nirved means detached. In Sanskrit, nirved means detached. Ved means to know, nirved means to not know. We are not interested to know. That means detached, nirvidya. Nirayad atha. Nirvidya, nirayad. Nirayad means hell, actually. Nirayad means hell. So Krishna says, you will be released from this hell. Now this material world is, Prabhupada translates as material existence. Prabhupada translated as material existence. See this, very nice. Prabhupada doesn't translate niryad as material world. He has material existence. Material existence is like a hell. Another meaning of niryad is hell. That's a hellish existence. Because in material existence, you're completely bombarded by modes of material nature, desires one after another, and absolutely absurd desires, which we even don't want. And then we are frustrated by that. And the more knowledgeable you are, the more frustrated you are. Because you have knowledge, but still you have desires. You can't get free of your desires by using that knowledge. That's more frustrating, am I right? So, Niryat, Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami, Krishna, Krishna extracted you from the hellish, stool-lit life of material existence. That is what will happen. When all the material, now you might ask me one question. When all the modes of material nature, influence will get destroyed, when you're not affected by the effects of modes of material nature or the combination of modes of material nature, then what happens? How do we know that I'm not affected? I'm no longer affected by modes of material nature. Now you might be tempted to answer this question, okay, when I will start remembering Krishna or his pastimes, when I'll start getting bliss, then I know that I'm not getting affected by modes of material nature. But no, Sukadeva Goswami says no, that can be tricky. That can be from mental platform. This is the sign of becoming free of material mode or material nature. Nirvidya niryadatha. You will become detached from the hellish existence of hellish material existence. You will become detached from everything. You will become even detached from your existence in which you foresee yourself as doing sense gratification. That will produce detachment or frustration. Just like Yamunacharya, he says, when I think of sex, I spit on it. That's the kind of detachment you will have. All this, when I think of sex, I spit on it. The sexual life is a hellish life. Illicit sex, that's a hellish life. I mean, this is just being interested in sex, that's animalistic life. So that is called material existence, by the way. Nirvidya, we become detached. Well, sexual life is necessary for procreation, and that's okay, Krishna says. I am kama within dharma, but if that's the aim of life, that's what you're interested in, kim anyat kama hitukam, that's hellish existence. And people lose taste in that. But that's very gross. You will lose taste in material existence. Material existence means an existence. Material existence means a way of living where the center is selfishness. A way of life where you are the center. That is material existence. where everything is geared or directed towards you. Even devotion. If you're doing devotion, I'll do devotion because I will become happy. That's material existence. That's not spiritual existence. It's a spiritual process. You're following a spiritual process, but you have a material existence. That's the whole idea. You know what? I like to put it in very simple words. Animals are those who ahar nidra vai maitho namcha, eating, mating, sleeping, dependent. Those are animals. Am I right? They have just these kind of desires. And devotees are those who are not interested in ahar nidra vai maitho. They are chanting and following the process. But who are we? We are devotees. We are actually animals following devotion. That's what we are. Externally, we are devotees. Some process we are following. But internally, we are animals. Animals practicing devotion. That's what we are. Because inside our heart, we still have a desire for eating, sex, defense. That's a big thing. To defend yourself, that desire is there. If somebody blames you, you will try to defend by actually nullifying that blame. Or if somebody blames you, you will get disturbed. That's animalistic reflex. That's animalistic propensity. We all are there from inside. And illicit sex, intoxication. Yahar nidra bhai maithunam. Sleeping. If you waste time in sleeping, and that's animalistic reflex. So that's the whole idea. We will detach from material existence of life. This is material existence. You see, it goes from gross sexual activities to basic animal reflexes, what we are having. To be interested in your existence is material existence. To be interested in one's own existence is actually material existence. To be interested in Krishna's existence, that is spiritual existence. So that's why this verse is, I found it quite important, that how Sukadeva Goswami is linking the dots, let's put it like that, or making a roadmap. You do this, then do this, then do this, and then it's done. And when it's done, then what do you expect? This is the result. These are the symptoms. So yeah, I think I'll just end up here. I think it's pretty much clear. But now you have to wrap up. You have to wrap it up all in your brain, and then fix your target and practice. And actually, you know what? Don't worry if you're not able to make it, because you can't make it in one day. That's also sure. It takes many years of practice. And you tell me, so you name one person in this entire world or entire history who has learned how to ride a bicycle without falling down. Without falling down, he has learned bicycle. There's nobody. If by the fear of falling down, you don't ride a bicycle, then you will never learn how to ride a bicycle. Or if from the fear of drowning, you don't jump in water, then you will never learn swimming. And while you are learning swimming in the water, many times you will drown, and then you will again start. So no problem, just keep on trying. But try vyavsayatmika buddhi. Fix your goal. You should know your roadmap. What do you want? And why do you want that? These two questions are very important. What do you want? And why do you want? And then things will take shape. That's the whole idea. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Anything you want to ask? All right, then. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the beautiful. Hare Krishna devotees, is there anybody having questions for Prabhuji? Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, at last you had said that just like when we drive a bicycle and whenever we don't fall, we don't learn, right? So is it necessary that in spiritual life it is necessary to get fall and learn instead of seeing others? Like instead of that, when we see the devotees getting attached to the Maya, so is it not when we observe the certain devotees and we learn? So can you just elaborate this?
Prabhupada says, if you see and learn, then that's first class intelligence. And if you do that and learn, that's actually second class. And if you do and still you don't learn, that's third class. So who are we? We are all Shudras, Kalau Shudra Sambhava. We are fourth class intelligence. So we don't learn by seeing. So we must fall down and learn. That's one answer. Another answer is, you see, you might see and learn, but that will not be real learning. You can see somebody swimming, but you will not learn swimming by seeing swimming. You have to do it yourself. So when you do yourself things, you will fall down. That's a part of this journey. You will fall down. And actually, Krishna allows us to fall down. Krishna doesn't save us. I mean to say, he can always catch our hand and save us and not let us fall down. But he will not do that. He will allow us to fall down because he knows if we fall down, we will learn many things. Every fall helps. Actually, every fall makes you learn how to get up. And actually, every fall down forces you to actually introspect, to see within yourself what is the problem. If you don't fall down, then you will never understand what's problems in you. And then when you do fall down after many years, then there'll be no solution for that because you'll fall down very hard. You'll break your bones and lose your life that time. It's just bizarre. So it's Krishna's mercy that he allows us to fall down. Of course, we don't want to fall down. But nevertheless, when we fall down, we should not become depressed because Krishna says to Uddhav, don't become depressed. Feel guilty. Feel guilty because we are doing something nonsense. That's why we have fallen down. But that's the whole point. Krishna wants to make us realize there's some nonsense you're doing. That's why you're falling down. So correct it. He's making us see what problem we are doing. And then we correct it and then we go forward. So that's the fall down is one of the scheme in the process of Krishna consciousness. It helps us. Of course, we don't want to fall down because it helps us. That's also a crazy idea. But if we do fall down, it will help us in a sense that if we see what Krishna wants to teach us, he's trying to give us a message that see, still you are not mature. Just see within yourself there is some problem and correct it. You are not looking hard within yourself. You're not trying to correct yourself. And when this happens, then Krishna makes us fall down. Okay. So that we, oh my God, something happened. What's the problem? And then we go. So that's a part of the game. You can't avoid it. That's how it goes. Is it clear?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Very clear. Your point has struck me. Where every fall down makes us to introspect why we fall down.
Mm.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. very amazing.
Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna.
Anybody wants to ask anything else? Everybody is silent.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody? Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions? Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Ranvat Pranam.
Praveen Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
So, Prabhuji, I had heard in some of the lecture, a senior devotee had said that Prabhupada mentioned that Rupa Goswami escaped the material world. So,
yeah, Prabhupada mentioned that, yeah.
So, if Rupa Goswami escaped, then what is our position, Prabhu?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling. our position is that we think we are greater than Rupa Goswami. That's our position. That's why we don't fear illusion, and we are simply leading our life, and we are thinking someday when something will happen, then we will attain something, and then someone will come and do something to us, and we'll get saved. That's what our position is. You see the point. You see, in the grand scheme, our position is hopeless. Really, if you really think about it. Raghunath Das Goswami, in his book, Stabavali, he actually quotes a very nice verse. Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur used to like this verse a lot. I think Srila Prabhupada is also quoting in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can look on the folio, Google maybe later. So he says, Asha Bharai Amrita Sindhu Mai Katanchit. He says, Asha Bharai, I'm feeling hopeless, Krishna. Without you, I'm feeling hopeless, actually. But still I'm full of hope. One hope I'm having, Asha Bharai, one hope. Otherwise, it's all hopeless. Bakarina api, he says in the last line, without Krishna, without Bakari, so he names Krishna as Bakari. Bakari means who, so he's a killer of Bakasur. So he says without Radha, actually he's, this verse is for Radharani. He says without you, Radharani, what will I do with Bakari? So Surganath Swami doesn't say, what will I do without Krishna? Without you, Radha, what will I do with Bakari? Without Radharani, he doesn't want to even name Krishna as Krishna. Because without Radha, Krishna is not Krishna. For him, he is no longer appealing. That's the whole idea. His Krishna name and his Krishna form is no longer appealing to Raghunath Das Goswami without Radha. So he's saying, for me, without Radha, Krishna, you appear to be as killer of Bakasur and no longer sweet. You appear to me as God without Radha. Now what do you think about this? This is sentiment of Raghunath Das Goswami, Prayojana Sadhu. Without Radha, you appear to me as God. And this is hopeless. This is a hopeless condition. This is what is hell for me. Now Prabhupada says material existence. This is material existence for me. So I find everything hopeless. Without you, Vrindavan is looking like a desert. Govardhan is looking like a snake's mouth ready to devour me. Sunlight is appearing as freezing cold, and moonlight is appearing as scorching heat, which will burn me to ashes. So he's feeling hopeless. Hopelessness from all sectors. Shunya etam jagat saram. What's that shunya? Shunya is hopelessness. I'm feeling hopeless. I'm feeling shunya. I'm feeling that there is that there is nobody to take care of me, no expectations, no reward, everything is zero. That means hopelessness. Sunyatam Jagat Saram, that's what Mahaprabhu says, the same thing. But he says there is one hope, Asha Bharai. One hope is there at least. That someday you will accept me as your servant. He says to Radharani, you will accept me as your servant. That's the hope. We are completely, so you see the point, it's a dynamic mixture of hopelessness and hope. That is devotion. Devotion is not just about hope, or devotion is not just about hopelessness. It is a mixture of hope and hopelessness. And that's what creates astonishment and chamatkar. And that's what Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says. Siddhant Boliana Karyalas. Tabe to Pabe Chitte Chamatkar. What is that? No, Tabe to Sudhirata Manas. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Siddhant Korya Parvichar. Tabe to Hirde Hope Chamatkar. Something like that. So that's when you meditate what Mahaprabhu is trying to give us, or Raghunatha Swami is trying to give us, then your heart will be chamatkar, means astonishment. Because there's a mixture of hopelessness and hope. And that's what is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not about, oh, we'll chant and be happy and everything is nice and we'll have parties. That's okay. But what about the negative side? I mean to say, even if you read science, when the material world was created, there was matter and antimatter. That means symmetry. There's always a symmetry. So there's positive and negative. And then an atom is made. There's not just positive, not just negative. There's positive, negative. So yes, there's a positive hope and there's negative hopelessness. And that is very conducive for Krishna consciousness. So that's the art of Krishna consciousness. Because if Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami escaped from this material world, then what's the hope for us? Of course, we know it's hopeless. Yeah, we actually acknowledge this fact. We don't fear this fact. I mean to say, yeah, of course, we have a fear that it's hopeless. But we don't just make our eyes blind to this fact. Oh, actually, I don't want to think everything is hopeless. My God, I'll get depressed. And oh my God, I don't want to hear all this. No, that's not the point. It's a reality. We accept it. Okay, we accept it with full open arms. Yes, it's hopeless. We know. But at the same time, there's a hope that one day Krishna will accept us as his servant. Because why? Not because I am great, or my sadhana is great, or I'm chanting 16 rounds, following 4 8 principles. I am pakka, strong person, strong sadhana. It's not because of that or I'm knowledgeable, but because Krishna is merciful. He likes to deliver fallen people. He's patit pavan. And I'm fallen, I'm hopeless. So who better candidate is more than me? You see the point? So hopelessness will become your qualification to be accepted by Krishna. That is Mahaprabhu's trick. You see the point? Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishnam Sangho Pangastra Parshadam. Yagya Sankriti Prayajanti Sumedasa. That is perfect intelligence. Hopelessness, which is depressing for people, and hopelessness, which is actually, which will actually completely put you in guilt and not allow you to advance in devotion. For devotees, they know this art. They actually make use of this hopelessness to advance. They actually make hopelessness, which is actually disqualification in this material world, it becomes qualification in the spiritual world, provided you know how to do it. So you become qualified. The more hopeless you feel, the more qualified you are to be delivered by Krishna, because he's Patit Pavan. And you know what? Krishna is more tensed than us. Krishna wants to actually keep his name Patit Pavan intact. You know, if there is no Patit to Pavan, then his name becomes useless, and he doesn't want that. So it's good we feel hopeless to the hopelessness ad infinitum. That's what our situation should be. But we have a hope. Now, there is a ray of hope. There is some interesting thing for Krishna. For Krishna. Yeah. Because there's a hope that Krishna is Patit Pavan, he will deliver me. And then we become perfectly qualified to be delivered by the Lord. So that's a trick. So you see, the process of Krishna consciousness is not a brute force. So by the way, I think you know what's brute force. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, brute force. So brute force, so Krishna consciousness is not a brute force that actually will follow something and it will enter spiritual world. That's not going to happen like that. Krishna consciousness is a trick, is an art. It's an art to practice Krishna consciousness. It's actually a trick, actually. It's a trick. And I mean to say, entire Bhagavad Gita is actually giving us a trick there so that we can apply this trick and actually we can engage everything in service of Krishna consciousness. How to do that and make our life perfect. Otherwise, for us, it's impossible to enter spiritual world. So, you see, it's such a beautiful process. In reality, it's a hopeless situation. We can't even chant 16 notes properly. So then nobody is qualified to go back to Godhead because you can't even follow the process nicely. But here Mahaprabhu comes, he says, okay, no problem. Use this hopelessness to go back to Godhead. At least you can use this. You can't use anything in service of Krishna consciousness. You are a hopeless candidate. You always make mistakes. But you can use this hopelessness to go back to Godhead because that's in that you are perfect. That's what you have earned, lifetimes of love times, and that's why you're born in this Kali Yuga as a sinful soul. That's your credit you have earned, hopelessness. No hope to go to spiritual world. That's why you're in Kali Yuga. Otherwise, we would be born in Sat Yuga. So, okay, use this. Use this. Meditate on this. And then pray to Krishna. Krishna, you are my only hope. And then you see things will come up. This is what is Yukaitam Nimishena Chakshusha Prabhashayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vihanami. That is Mahaprabhu's movement. That is called separation, love and separation. That's how it goes. Isn't it? So I don't know. Did I answer your question?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji. Wonderfully, Prabhuji. Amazing. Very nice answer, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So anybody else wants to ask any questions or we'll just hang up here. That's it.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji?
Prabhuji, your class is very nice, Prabhuji.
What's she saying? I can't hear.
She's saying that your class is nice, Prabhuji. Thank you, she's saying.
Okay, thank you very much. At least she can understand. That's quite interesting. Adults cannot understand, but she can understand. That's great. Sometimes children can understand more than adults. Sometimes it happens like that, yeah. Because adults are occupied in their money, in their family, in their careers. And their children are free and sometimes they're much better than adults. Anyway. Okay, so there's no question, we'll end up here then.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji, for a wonderful class. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the assembled Vaishnavas.
Vaishnavibhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Ananda Prabhuji ki
jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.